2009 session of the House Subcommittee on Workforce Development is convened. This morning we're going to be having an informational meeting about the stimulus package, and we have Dugan Petty, Cy Smith, and anyone else that we have.
That's right. Well, I'm not hitching chair.
Please.
That's correct.
Okay. And that looks like it. Gentlemen, welcome. Thank you for coming this morning.
Chairman Witt, members of the committee, thank you for having us today. My name is Dugan Petty. I'm the state's chief information officer, and I also serve as the administrator of the Enterprise Information Strategy and Policy Division. Today we want to present to you the Oregon Stimulus Transparency and Accountability Tracking Tool. We refer to that as ORSTATS. I want to give you a little bit of context for the presentation that you're about to see, and then I'll invite Cy Smith up. He's our geospatial coordinator in the Enterprise Information Strategy and Policy Division, and also serves as the project manager for this, we think, pretty exciting project. And he'll introduce the gentleman next to me who will walk you through the presentation. The legislature made the decision make funding available for Go Oregon, the stimulus, state stimulus package. And we were called in to participate on a team along with the governor's economic recovery executive team, the facilities division, and others to help put together a tool that would allow us to track and report back to you on the effect of the stimulus funding. At the time we were doing this, we knew that the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act had passed. We knew that there would be guidance coming out on accountability and transparency for federal stimulus funding. And so we've really tried to build this tool in a way that it's broad enough and flexible enough not only to report on the state stimulus funding, but also on federal stimulus funding. Two key issues, really, for both of these funds is transparency and accountability. So I think when you see this tool, you will appreciate that it does give us transparency in how the funding is spent, and really accountability in where the money is being spent and how well that's working. We also, when we put this together, said, you know, not only do we need a tool to be able to help decision makers manage where these project investments will be made, but we also need a tool that can serve a dual purpose of reporting to the public and letting them know where the spending is being spent and what impacts it's having. Is it having the intended impacts? And I think you'll see that this tool certainly has that capability. The other thing I want to say before I turn it over to Cy is that I believe this is a terrific example of leveraging existing investments to the benefit of Oregon citizens and the public. We have taken really a system that had been developed for the Oregon Bridge Reporting System and managed by the Oregon Bridge Delivery Partners. We coupled that up with geographic information that we have been capturing for a while so that we could match those two elements. And then in partnership with the Department of Employment, we've taken data that they have available around unemployment and occupational data that is coded geographically and mixed them together in a way that I think gives us a very strong tool to manage these investments and these projects and understand the outcomes from them. So without any further ado, I just want to bring Cy Smith up. One of my to-dos before I turn this over to Cy was to ask you if you would, with your indulgence, allow them to make this kind of presentation through and then answer questions at the end. And the reason for that is our experience is that we'll get questions after the first or second slide, and maybe the fourth or fifth slide in actually answers those questions. So if you'll be patient, we'll get through it, and then we'll be happy to answer your questions. And with that, Cy Smith.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, thank you for having me today. My name is Cy Smith. I'm the State GIS Coordinator, Geographic Information Systems. And as Dugan said, it would be good if we could take questions afterwards. It only takes us about 15 minutes to get through this, so we certainly won't take up a lot of time. We've got two parts, actually, to the presentation. The first part we're going to show you is an application that we put together sort of in the interim just to get information out there about what's happening with stimulus dollars, where they're going, and so on. And that's already posted on the governor's recovery website. It's called Tracking the Dollars. There's a link on the left-hand side of the Oregon Way page. And that is, if we go ahead and turn the projector on, they could see it that way. There it is. So that's this page and what it looks like, and we'll go through that, and then we'll move into the more detailed demonstration of the application that we prepared that actually shows specific locations of projects and that kind of thing. What this application shows is an aggregation of stimulus dollars by county, so it doesn't show individual projects yet. As we go through this, I'll ask Caleb. Oh, and I should introduce. Sorry about that. Rob Kirkman is here with me, just to my left, and Caleb Barger, just to his left. And these gentlemen are with the Oregon Bridge Delivery Partners and are our contractors in developing this system. So, Caleb, if you wouldn't mind clicking on the ARRA transportation. So the first thing that you have to do on the right-hand side, you click on one of these boxes, and he's clicked on the ARRA transportation dollars, and then you can click on one of the counties, and a little pie chart will come up that shows, and you can move your cursor over each of the segments of the pie, shows how much money is going from ARRA transportation dollars to the city, to the county, and then how much is being spent by state agencies. Or in this case, ODOT. These four pieces that we've got over here on the right-hand side are the stimulus dollars that we know about right now. There will be a lot more stimulus dollars, so we'll add in a box on the right for public safety. We'll add in a box for health and human services, another box for energy. There are a number of different, there will be a whole series of categories on the right-hand side. If you click on the workforce box, you can see the total when he's hovering over the box, $714,149,000, and then you go to a county, and the pie chart isn't particularly useful in this case, except that it does say making work pay tax credit, and it says that for every, of course, for every county, but it gives you the total. So that's the initial application, and then I will... I'm going to turn it over to Rob Kirkman to go through the rest of the presentation. Beyond communicating the distribution of stimulus funds, the other key parts of stimulus tracking are data capture, reporting, and planning. And Rob is going to show you each of those elements in relation to the more detailed application called ORSTATS.
Thank you, Si, Mr. Chairman. What you're going to see now, that application there was kind of the public-facing piece. The application you're going to see now is actually secure, but is the data capture...
Excuse me, would you just, for the record, please introduce yourself?
My apologies. Mr. Chairman, for the record, my name is Robert Kirkman. I'm the GIS manager for HDR Engineering and the project manager for this application. This is Caleb Barger. He's the business analyst for... HDR Engineering, and also working on this application for us. So,
welcome.
Sorry about that. Anyway, this application is secure, not currently available outside of authorized users, but has the look and feel of the bridge reporting system that we developed for ODOT. And if we log in as administrator, in this case, you'll see that we will get to see all of the projects. But what is important to know is that this is a secure system, so it is role-based security. So any agency logging in would get access only to those projects for which they're authorized. So only in the case of ODOT, they would only get access to ODOT projects, or in the case of a specific project manager, they might only get that one project or two projects for which they're authorized. So you can see, as we move in to the application, the entry screen, you're getting two views of the same data. On the left-hand side is a list of all the projects for Go Oregon and a brief description of them. On the right-hand side is a dynamic map as Caleb kind of moves through the system. You can see them throughout the state. Those dots represent projects that have already been placed on the map. Accessing the projects through either side will take you to the same place. So if you saw Caleb, he went through the map interface to a project here in Astoria, and as we come into the main page here, this is basically summary information that generally won't change. I mean, it's going to have your project information, project name, a brief description, the budget. And then if you scroll down to the bottom, you can actually see that project in context. This, again, is dynamic mapping. The point in blue actually places that project at the street level and within Astoria. There's a slider on the left-hand side that allows you to zoom in and out as you would in a general application. And then the buttons up on the top allow you to toggle between a street map and aerial photography, so you can really put it in context. This is important in defining projects too, as not everything actually is. You want to make sure that the project is actually located in the exact spot, and this is a way to confirm that and actually look at it in context. But this page basically is the summary page and allows you access to the monthly or basically the tracking data that will be entered on a monthly basis. And you can see those tabs are accessible at the top here, and they're defined by the role of the user. So the agency, the contractor, and then how the money is actually being paid through the system and reimbursements. So if we access the agency page just as a tracking piece, you come into the data elements that are entered on a monthly basis for this project. You can see the basic project management information, which is the start and stop date. We also have that's actual and scheduled, so you can actually track slippage or if it were ahead of the schedule on this project. Specifically, we can look at Oregon versus non-Oregon contractors. This is as Go Oregon was designed to track Oregon jobs. This is summed up on a monthly basis. And then the second grouping there is a list of funding sources for which you can track information going through. So currently this is we're still working off of test data, but you can see we've got a number of different pools of money that could all funnel into a single project and sum up there. And at the bottom there, we have a general, every project needs a miscellaneous catch-all, which project managers will use for general comments that aren't into the predefined fields. This information is entered on a monthly basis. You can see and is accessible from month to month. And you can see that history on the right-hand side, March, April, May, and as you proceed through the project, that's all updatable and accessible, immediately placed within the database for reporting. But one important element of this application that we've used on the Bridge program is the ability for information control or change management control, I should say. And if you look at the top left-hand corner, you'll see a yellow bubble saying pending. What this allows the application to do is all data that's entered must be signed off by someone else within the agency. So it's really kind of a double-blind accounting technique where information is entered. Someone else will go and review that information before it's actually committed to the database for reporting. And this has helped us keep down data entry errors, just normal human errors that would occur through reporting, and just make sure that there's an extra set of eyes on the data before it goes out for review. So, but as soon as this information is committed to the database, it's available for reporting. And in order to give us some flexibility in doing the reporting, we really weren't sure, as all this is very new, what the reporting requirements were going to be or are going to be. We did know that initially we would need to put all of that information out in a data dump for other manipulation, but we also knew that there would be more defined reports that were coming. So we put a business intelligence platform in, and we've got is a number of predefined reports that we've already created, and what that allows us to do is these are all obviously web-ready. They're very, very graphic and very quick to actually define and make accessible to anybody who's using the system. Now, what is also important to know is, much like the data entry is limited to whoever's to the authorization for whoever's using the system, the reporting is also limited the same way. So you would only have access to those reports for which you have authorization. And this is pulling right off the same data that was just entered. And you can see there are a number of ways to configure this information. Simple pie charts. There's much more advanced, more defined reports. Or you could even configure this into kind of a web-ready dashboard. So an agency might be able to log in and actually see their relation to overall goals for the stimulus money. So, but the most exciting piece of this, by introducing GIS to the application, is the ability to plan the projects. And there's more to the stimulus money than simply tracking that those dollars. You want to make sure you're not just tracking projects, but you're actually tracking the right projects. And if we go to this planning section, we're back to a dynamic map to start with, and you can see the blue dots. Again, that's the same information we were looking at before, the same projects. But you can actually match up the type of project with the need for those types of projects. So in this case, it would be unemployment data, and this is what Cy and Dugan mentioned, which is the contribution by the Department of Employment. If we were able to take unemployment claimants and look at specific projects, we can see what the impact would be, both direct and indirect, on the claimant data based on this type of project. So if we select a project, and we'll go to Astoria here, there's a roofing project, for example. You can see that we've selected the project on the left, and we're going to look at what the potential impact would be to roofers that are actually claiming unemployment now. And at the bottom, you can see there's a distance element there. So this is where the GIS comes in. So from 5 miles out, for instance, from this project, we'll look at the number of roofers that are currently collecting unemployment. As Caleb hits his query, you see a couple of boxes that are moving. One is, and that's back already, you see the summary of the impact of that project in the bottom right-hand corner. And if we were to select that project offhand, the direct impacts would be 9 roofers could potentially go to work on that project right away. The map, again, recenters to that project. And what you're seeing there in yellow is also a matched set of data for contractors in that area that could potentially bid on that project. So what we've really done is created a chain here, and so we've got unemployed roofers, businesses that could employ them, and a project on which they could work. But in this case, we see that the impact might be just 9 roofers. So judging impact, maybe there's a better project selection. By chance, we just happen to know that there's a project there. That if we look at a larger project, in this case a construction project, and we'll look at construction laborers, and you see we pull up, it's got a list of occupations that are available here, construction laborers, construction managers. We can select any or all of these to look at the impacts and run the same basic query against this data. And it's going to do the same process again, summarize and look by doing that, checking in a different project, you see the potential impact for a different type of project is much greater. In this case, 143 that could be put to work potentially right away, 108 construction laborers, and another 35 construction maintenance people right within 5 miles of that project. And again, you see we've matched up businesses in that area that would potentially work on that project right away. Now, this is a very quick way not only to judge the impacts or the potential impacts of project selection, but to sift through a lot of data. Because if you go up to the top buttons here, what Caleb's done is toggled on the contractors. The other yellow dots that are less intense, you see that is all the other contractors that are in that same area. So you're able to quickly go through a large amount of data and get to a selected set very quickly. Similarly, we can look at the unemployment intensity. Now, we can't show you the actual point data for unemployment claimants. It's sensitive information. But what we've done is turned that into an intensity map, something that shows the intensity of unemployment based off those points. And you can see that the higher clusters of red on the map represent higher intensities of unemployment within that area. So again, this is a way to sift through a lot of information, make that information put that information to good use, even when it's sensitive, and put it in a context where it can be used very, very quickly. So
if I could add just a couple of things here to point out, the planning implication of this is all the Go Oregon projects are already started, but the ARRA projects, there are a lot of them coming, a lot more than what we had with Go Oregon. So planning where those projects would be located potentially based on potential impact, there's a much greater ability to do that and do it right within this application because you can sift through a lot of information. And the second piece is that in terms of impact, all we're looking at the moment with this application is the impact on employment. But with regard to ARRA spending, if you're talking about public safety, for example, the impact might be something different that you'd want to measure. So the impact for public safety dollars might be, well, what is the impact of these dollars on the crime trends? And the Criminal Justice Commission has that information about it going back several years about crime, and we've got that, and we've put it on a map. So there's the potential to add in crime for public safety. There's the potential to add in student-teacher ratio with regard to education. I mean, there are a lot of different factors. So we're working with each agency right now that's going to get ARRA funding and identifying those potential impact criteria with them, DHS and Criminal Justice Commission, CCW. A number of other agencies. So we're just kind of starting that process.
Go ahead.
No, that's pretty much where we are. So, we're kind of at the end of the demo.
Okay.
My last point was going to be that, but Mitch, what Sai says, this is spatial data, GIS data, and in this case, it's just unemployment that we matched it up with. But conceivably, this could be any type of data that could be put on a map. And as estimates are that at least 80% of all data has some geographic element to it, this is a very versatile system and really could redefine tracking of dollars from here on out. So,
thank you very much. Questions or comments for our panel? Representative Holby.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. To refresh my memory, because maybe it's been in the news a lot, the Go Oregon money, just to define it, is the $175 million that the legislature passed for state stimulus money earlier this session?
Yes, sir.
And on one of your charts, follow up, Mr. Chair.
Please.
There was a, on the Go Oregon slide, there was an SELP acronym. I'm just curious what that was. It was along with some of your bonding.
It was one of the funding categories, excuse me.
Yeah, it was one of the funding categories. What's SELP stand for?
Do you recall?
No.
It's the only one I didn't recognize.
State Employment Labor Pool.
Oh.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair.
That's a guess.
That's good on the cup.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Holden, the data elements that, as you saw, are specific to Go Oregon. Those were originally defined by Department of Administrative Services, the Facilities Group, and Unfortunately, as a developer, I don't always know all the background on it. But
on the acronyms,
yes.
Okay. One last question. Just on your dots, I mean, this is really fascinating. It looks like a very, very useful tool. You know, but as you were, and I'm sure there's probably other data entry that could, you know, further refine, you know, your output, I suppose. But one of the things I was noticing on this particular slide is you had, I think it was 9 unemployed roofers, and there was probably close to 40 or 50 roofing contractors, which seemed like an inordinate amount of contractors as opposed to unemployed roofers. And so I was wondering, is there an element in there that describes that how many of these roofing contractors are without work, or maybe they're one-man independent contractor shops? I don't know. Just that demographic just didn't seem to really match very well. So maybe there's a lot of independent contracting one-man roofers out there that are out of work too, but it didn't really show that.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Holby, what you're seeing there is not specifically roofing contractors. If you look at industry codes for these firms, they are applicable in many different categories. So you're not just seeing roofing companies; you're seeing roofing companies and construction companies and other firms that could conceivably work on that. So it's actually a much broader category than strictly roofing.
Oh, I thought the previous slide to this actually showed roofers and roofing contractors. I thought
we can actually run that query again and see.
Anyway, I guess the point was really not the number, but can you tell of these roofing contractors which ones are, you know, viably out of work that could do the job, as opposed to how many licenses there are?
Mr. Chair, Representative Holby, that is actually not. Yes, the answer would be yes. That would actually require a little more coordination with the Department of Employment for some information that we would get
from. And I think that was the slide I was referring to.
And if, yeah, Caleb will go through, you see we've got construction companies. You know, there are a lot of types of construction companies that are able to work on this. Are individuals.
Roofing contractors. Okay, that was misleading to me.
And due to restrictions on how we were able to present this data, that's not readily apparent, but that's something that we were trying to take care of in the actual application itself. So,
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, if I could add a couple of things to that. One is we're able to do this application, and we're able to do what we can do with it primarily because the Department of Employment has such a rich data set about businesses and about the people that are collecting unemployment insurance right now. Most other states don't have that level of detail that our agency has. They also have located all of those businesses and all of those people so that we have addresses and we can put those on a map very easily. Most other states are not able to do that. So that's a real benefit to the state of Oregon from that department. A lot of that information, though, is confidential. So what we're doing is they're giving us the bits of that information that are not confidential. We're able to put it into the application, and then as people want to know more about individuals, about businesses, and so on, the information can be passed back to the Department of Employment. So we can do a query, select the roofing companies, or select any number of people or companies, pass that information back to the Department of Employment. They can do processing and then send it in an aggregated form back into the application. So we're kind of at an early stage with this, but that's the process that we're going to follow with a number of queries like that. So the information is there. It's a matter of how we get to it and how it's really presented.
Mr. Huffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It warms my heart to know that some of the information from those reports that you fill out over the years on employment and labor is actually being utilized for something. Yeah. I just wanted to, the information you know, when it's coming at you and you don't really have a base of reference for it, I just wanted to clear some things up. The Oregon Bridge Reporting System, was that a project that was in the works and then this is being utilized kind of in conjunction with that? Is the Oregon Bridge Reporting System the framework maybe that was being worked on and this is utilizing that then?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Huffman, yes, the Oregon Bridge Reporting System was a project by ODOT that came out of the OTIA 3 project, and that project is repairing or replacing 365 bridges across the state. It was very apparent early on that we needed a detailed tracking system like this to be able to do our job. We built that system as contractors to ODOT. Similarly, we also put a enterprise GIS accompanying that system on the project. DAS, SAI specifically, was aware of that project, and when Go Oregon came up, it was obvious that tracking would be applicable to the Go Oregon, and then in anticipation of the ARRA project that's coming up. So the ability to actually look at a project and track funds, you know, longitudinally and put that on the ground was the ability that was really needed for this. So this was something that we were able to take that basic approach, pair the two systems, and apply it to Go Oregon in a much, much more rapid fashion than if we start from scratch. So,
a couple of follow-ups. First of all, I commend Cy and whoever else connected the dots. It would be much more like the state to have been siloed and not know about this and have come to you and hired you to recreate this for a different purpose, which at that point I would hope that you would say, well, did you know that we developed it over here? But anyway, I digress. So the main purpose, who would use this? Is this mostly for agencies' use that are receiving ARRA dollars and Go Oregon dollars to have this information at their laptop, or can this be utilized by the general public to see where dollars are going, or both?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Huffman, this is right now set up for both the DAS facilities, who's administering the Go Oregon funding, and all of the ARRA funding agencies. DAS facilities is going to make it useful for the, I believe it's 11 state agencies that are receiving Go Oregon funds. So each agency will have potentially a person or maybe more than one person who will have a login ID and a password to the system, and they will enter information about the projects that they're managing. There's the potential to actually push this down to the contractor level and perhaps even to subcontractor level. I don't know that anyone's talking about going down to the subcontractor level to have them entering information, but there have been some discussions about specific contractors who would have the ability to do that. So via the web, they would go in, enter a login and a password, and perhaps directly enter information about their project. In other cases, they would pass it to the agency. Right now, that's the that's the intent. Beyond that, I think the implications of this perhaps are obvious, that this could go well beyond ARRA funding dollars and so on. And so I think there's a lot of potential for this kind of system, and basically we're trying to make it known and make it available to folks to start thinking about how they might use it.
Last follow-up, please. There's been a lot of talk even this week in the building about transparency and making information available to the general public, and I guess where I was headed, kind of curious, can this be a model that could easily be used? and I'm not sure actually who is being targeted to run with that ball. Maybe you guys have heard, I don't know, but
you want to come on in?
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, Dugan Petty for the record. Mr. Chair, Representative Huffman, when we first started work on this, conversation that Cy and I had was we have to keep in mind the ability to put this up on Oregon.gov for transparency to the citizens who want to see where this funding is going and the outcomes of these projects. So the question for us is what of this information makes sense and how do we put it out there? But we are interested in getting it out so that the public can access this information and get as much information as possible about how their funds are being spent and what's being accomplished with these projects. So some of it may be too detailed and maybe certainly there is some confidential information that is not able to be fully shared because of statutory requirements from the Department of Employment. But beyond that, we will be putting some of this out. The governor's website already on the Oregon Way and the ARRA funding has some geographic information already. Some of the earlier information that you saw at the beginning of the slide presentation showed the ability for a citizen to go in and click on a county and get a picture of how much funding is being spent in that county, and we would expect more to be there. That's a very important part of this.
Thank you.
Representative Dembaugh.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Thank you very much for this presentation. It's encouraging, intriguing, and tantalizing, I have to say. And I'll follow up on Representative Huffman's questions. Before I do that, though, one sort of technical question on the you know, the box down there to the right, you know, where you're able to see what kind of jobs are available for this project or, you know, within that field. Is there a way to know the duration of the job? Because that also would be, I think, of interest as you're trying to, you know, gauge the impact of a particular project. So is there something that tracks it over or projects it over time?
Mr. Chair, Representative Dembaugh, not currently within the application. The ability to sustain jobs is a question that's we've wrestled with on this. And projects in the database right now vary from very quick projects that might be a couple of weeks to ones that could conceivably be months or even years. So that's not something we're actually tracking in the database, but could easily be put into something like a planning piece, mm-hmm. and looking at projecting ahead what the sustained impact within an area would be. You certainly have the data there, and one of the questions that has come up repeatedly and which has the greatest potential here is to use this prescriptively, which is looking at unemployment or whatever factor, but in this case unemployment, and running the same type of analysis and saying, yeah, again, like, is this the right project? But if you didn't have a project in that area, you could look at this analysis and say, well, what types of projects might we look for this area or training programs for this cluster that we could better address them with? That's all inherent in the data already. It's just a matter of tapping that potential through an application like this.
So if I could follow up, Mr. Chairman, Representative Dembaugh, the criteria that you see now are the Go Oregon criteria, so DAS facilities establish those. The ARRA criteria are not fully established yet. We're still learning from the President's Office of Management and Budget what those criteria are going to be. We've got the minimal criteria. We expect more to follow, and then the state will most likely add a few pieces of information that we want to capture to the ARRA, the basic ARRA requirements. So this could very well be one of those requirements that we would add in, and it looks like that most likely the Go Oregon criteria are probably going to be perhaps impacted by the ARRA criteria. So as things are added to ARRA, the Go Oregon folks at DAS facilities may say, oh, that would be a good, that'd be a good element to add. Maybe we should do that too. So mm-hmm. I think there will be some mix there.
Thanks. Following up on the representative's questions about sort of public access, the governor's website talks about this information being rolled out in a three-phase manner. And I think we're in phase one now, where you can look at the overall map and see how much is going, you know, from Go Oregon, you know, into that county, et cetera. And then phase two is going to list individual projects, where you can see individual projects, and then phase three, open it up even more. Do you have a projected timeline for those other phases, phase two, phase three? I know, you know, once I share this with constituents, they're gonna want to know, so when do we get to the meat?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Denbrough, the timeline, we're trying to move as quickly as we can with it, of course, but the timeline really is driven more by getting the ARRA requirements from the Office of Management and Budget. I believe they are looking at sometime in, actually in June, to finalize those requirements. So we're sort of chomping at the bit to get those, and so is every other state, because every other state is trying to do in some way something similar to what we're doing. But there's only just so much that we can do to push that. So that's probably driving the schedule more than anything else. And I would say we're looking at least June before we really get this thing up and running fully. But we are going live with it for the Go Oregon work. Is it this
Friday?
This Friday. So that agencies will be able to, actually we're going to start with DAS facilities. They are collecting the information from agencies in spreadsheet form. Basically, they're going to enter all the information the first month, for the first month's reporting back to the legislature, and then for the June or for the June reporting time frame, and then for the July reporting time frame, 1st of July, they should have agencies entering the information directly. So that's where we are with the Go Oregon piece.
As Representative Denbrough said, a lot of this information is tantalizing, and I'm just curious if there are any plans for follow-up studies post-ARRA.
Mr. Chairman, there aren't any plans at this point. There's certainly a lot of thinking going on about that. But as Dugan was saying, really we're trying, and as project manager, I'm certainly trying to keep the focus on this to the extent that we can get this done and get it done quickly and get it done right before we start thinking too much about expanding the scope, because that's sort of a recipe for failure if you get too involved with that.
And I'm curious, too, if any of our state universities are aware of what you're doing here, because I think this would be a very fertile ground for them to be conducting research.
Mr. Chairman, they're certainly aware. We work very closely with, and I certainly work very closely with the folks at Oregon State and University of Oregon and Portland State, as well as a number of the community colleges in various parts of the state. So they're very aware of what we're doing, and as I said, they're sort of waiting for us to get this thing designed better and sort of up and running. But they're very anxious to work with us.
Are you aware of other states, too, that are involved in this kind of tracking?
Mr. Chairman, I am aware of a couple of other states. Maryland is doing something similar. They're not; they don't have as much detail in it at this point. It's a higher-level piece, but they've gotten a lot more open to the public at this point. There are a couple of other states that have the application, that the first application that we showed you, which is the piece that aggregates by county. That is something that our GIS software company, ESRI, has made available to every state for free, the templates to put that up and put it up fairly quickly. We got that up in about 2 days with their help. But no other state that I'm aware of is doing this kind of project at this level of detail, partly because, as I said, the employment departments in the other states have a certain level of information, but our employment department is the only one that I'm aware of that has the detailed information about, you know, because of the iMatch skills program, about unemployment insurance claimants and businesses, and also has a GIS program that has geolocated all of this data. So we're way ahead in terms of that aspect.
I have a feeling that the information that you will be developing will be of interest for a good number of years out into the future, and absent your department's preparation to be able to pull all this information together, it may well have been lost, and I think this will be exceedingly valuable to all different kinds of fields of research. I just think this is a tremendous job, and you all are to be congratulated for the effort that you're putting into this. Additional questions, Representative Boldy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just reiterate what you say. This is just absolutely fascinating. Looks like it'd be extremely valuable to be able to target, you know, what kind of projects we have coming up, and do we have an available workforce, and if we don't, can we put training dollars in place? And just the ramifications are just huge. But I want to follow up on something Representative Dimbro asked, because I think it's a very valuable piece that would, you know, as far as the transparency piece, to kind of equate the value behind some of this, and that is the duration of some of these projects. You know, you could use different colored dots or whatever. You guys know how to do that, but I think that would be you know, really valuable if a project is, you know, takes a couple of years, you know, or if it's just a couple of weeks to somehow, or just, you know, maybe just have two or three different time frames. I still think that would be valuable information, because, you know, a job that lasts a year is a heck of a lot more valuable than one that lasts 2 weeks. So anyway, I just thought I'd reiterate my feelings on that. Thanks.
Additional questions or comments? Ellen, thank you very, very much for a thoroughly interesting presentation here. And once again, Oregon finds itself in the lead, I think, around the 50 states. Congratulations on a great effort here.
Thank you
so much. With that, I am going to close the informational hearing today. Kevin, do we have any coming events?
Actually, Chairman Witt, members of the committee, there is no meeting scheduled for Thursday right now. Given the push to get bills out of the full committee, we haven't been assigned Senate bills yet, but my guess is by Tuesday we'll have some things in the hopper. But in the meantime, nothing scheduled for Thursday.
All right. Anything else for the good of the order? Not seeing anything. We are adjourned.